You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
I think a good horse person is somebody that is willing to listen to the horse, understand the horse, not going to the horse thinking that they're doing it wrong on purpose, or, you know, I think just taking into consideration everything, and really just putting the horse first, and how, you know, they can't tell us things, they can't communicate with their words. So we have to take care of that for them. And so I think being the horse's biggest advocates, and I think we ask them to do a lot. So having, you know, empathy for them and just making sure that we're doing our jobs, putting them first and taking care of them as best that we can do that.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman Podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and this week's episode is with hunter jumper, trainer and rider, Kelsey Epperson. Kelsey and I spoke in early May as she was gearing up for summer horse shows with her horses and clients. To give you a little more background on Kelsey, she started riding at a young age alongside her mom and competed on the local hunter circuit in Michigan. As a junior, Epperson decided she wanted to become a professional trainer. She made the leap after getting her college degree, and today she works with Heather Irvine at Hillside Farm in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Some of Kelsey's notable achievements are winning the $10,000 USHJA National Hunter Derby with Didgeridoo VDL at the 2021 Winter Equestrian Festival, and becoming the reserve champion in the $10,000 WCHR Developing Professional Challenge with More Fun at the 2025 Capital Challenge Horse Show. In our discussion, Kelsey talks about what she enjoys about the hunter and jumper disciplines, her training philosophy, how she handles show nerves, and more. Before getting into the conversation with Kelsey, I'd like to share a word from one of this episode's sponsors, Tribute Equine Nutrition. If you're serious about your horse's performance, nutrition matters, and not all feed programs are created equal. At Tribute Equine Nutrition, their team only makes changes when research shows they can truly improve horse health, supporting gut health, efficient nutrient use, and overall performance. That's why Tribute Equine Nutrition is upgrading every formula in their lineup, building on improvements made to their bestsellers and rolling those advancements out across 2026. As updated products reach shelves, riders might even find something extra. Golden tickets hidden in select bags, worth up to a year's supply of feed for one horse. For those not sure where to start, Tribute's team will create a free, personalized feeding plan, and new customers receive their first bag shipped free, with no purchase required. Visit TributeEquineNutrition.com and click Get a Feed Plan to get started. Now, let's jump right into the conversation with Kelsey, where she recaps a reserve champion result last year at the Capital Challenge Horse Show.
So I actually kind of wanted to start off with something about kind of a competition last year. You were the reserve champion at the $10,000 WCHR Developing Professional Challenge, a Capital Challenge. And could you talk about that experience in that class, because it sounds kind of unique?
It's a really cool class. I mean, I have had the opportunity to do it twice now. I was fifth in 2023 and then second last year. And both times I borrowed a horse for it that I hadn't ridden until that class. And It's really cool because it's a whole night of just the professionals and everybody is really rooting each other on and the atmosphere is really cool. There's a lot of people there. It's just exciting. Like it's just an exciting class to do. And it's, like I said, everybody's rooting each other on. So even in the schooling ring, everybody's excited for one another and we're talking to each other. So that's really cool. Cause I think that a lot of times we are just focused on, you know, what we need to do, the clients that we're working with or the horses that we're working with. And so it's just sort of, it's just like a fun opportunity for all of us. But last year was really special. I was really fortunate. I work with Heather Irvine and her and Tom Wright hooked me up with the horse that I rode for fun of Laura Koretz. And the horse is so much fun to ride. So his name definitely suits himself. And it was just cool. There was no pressure from anybody but myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself and I just went and rode and told myself to have a good time and try not to put so much pressure on myself and just do what I know how to do. And it really worked out. And, like I said, the horse was just a lot of fun. I just went in there and kept having fun. And the team that we worked with was great. And so it was sort of a fairy tale night for me. And of course I wanted to win, but being second was amazing. And I still have to pinch myself that actually happened. So that was cool.
Awesome. Yeah. It just seems like, yeah, I like what you said about it being a night for professionals and kind of maybe focus on yourselves a little bit versus staying busy with all your clients and whatnot. And yeah,
that's it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And then, so you mostly work in the hunter divisions, but I think a bit in the jumpers as well. What kind of drew you to those disciplines?
You know, I really like the perfectionism of being in the hunter ring. I like trying to make the horse go as best as they can without anybody seeing what's really going on behind the scenes and how well can you make that horse jump. And, you know, I think that the hunters are so pretty to watch. I think the jumpers are maybe easier to follow for spectators. So, you know, I wish that the hunters had a little bit more of that excitement with like outside people wanting to follow it. I think that's a hard thing to get into. But I've always loved the hunters. I grew up doing the hunters. I have always been drawn to the hunters. My mom and I used to watch the regular working hunters all the time. And I always aspired to be those riders. So I just love it. I love how the horses go. I love how they jump. I love all of it.
Awesome. Yeah. It's every discipline has its unique flavor kind of, and people that are drawn to it. And yeah. Could you tell me how you did get your start in riding and like taking a look back and to where you are now today with your career?
Yeah. My mom rode as a kid growing up. And so she had horses, not competitively, but she had horses. And then when she had me, you know, I was just in the barn with her and she introduced me to the entire sport. And it sort of stemmed from there. I think, you know, we always look back and laugh that I used to get on her horse when she was done riding. And there was one day that I was standing on the mounting block while she was riding. And I was like, we share him, don't we, Mom? And she was like, no, it's time for you to get your own pony. So that was the start of that. So I started mostly on the local circuit and here in Michigan and did well. I had good ponies and good horses, and my parents were very supportive of me and supportive of where I wanted to go and goals that I wanted to try to achieve. And when I said that I wanted to do this for a living, they made sure that I went to college first, and that was very important. And that if I wanted to stay going with this, that I could, but graduate college first, and then you can do whatever you want.
Nice. Yes. Important parent advice.
I know. And, you know, as when they're saying that, you're like, oh, whatever. I don't want to do that. But of course, looking back, I'm so grateful that I did for everything, you know, I mean, just outside things that it teaches you is very important to do.
So what kind of made you decide you wanted to stick with horses as a career and kind of stay involved with the sport in that aspect?
I have always been obsessed with it. I didn't want to do anything else. I danced a little bit when I was younger, and when that was starting to take off and I was going to have to do that basically more than one day a week, I was like, no, I can't. Cuts into my riding. So I've been so obsessed with it. And like as a kid, it was, you know, I just wanted to ride as many horses as I could ride, and I didn't care what it was. I didn't care where it was. I wanted to go to the barn all day. I used to ask my mom that. We'd get up on Sunday morning and I was like, we're going to spend all day at the barn today, right? She's like, well, we might have to go home at some point, but sure. So just all of it. I loved taking my ponies out, and we had these giant hay fields at my barn, and the whole aspect of it. And I've always liked competing, and I've honestly enjoyed competing more and more as I've gotten older too, which I feel like is a little bit backwards, but gonna run with it. I've just always been obsessed with the whole thing. I like to know all about the horses. I like the clients. I like the people that come with it. I like traveling. All of it.
Yeah. The whole picture.
The whole picture. I'm obsessed. Yeah. I can't help it.
Now, in your career thus far, have there been certain horses, or you've mentioned ponies too, that have kind of been pretty influential to kind of getting you to where you are now? And if so, could you talk about them, who they are, what they're like, and why they were influential?
I think the biggest one that I think most people will probably know or expect me to talk about is Didgeridoo. He's a very flashy, he's not big, but he's a very flashy chestnut with a lot of white. And I won the National Derby out on the field in Wellington, I think in 2021. And that was probably like one of the biggest moments of my career. And that was with him. And it was not what I was expecting at all that day. I just wanted to have fun. And, you know, the whole day was fun. And it was one of those, like when I flatted him in the morning, he just felt like he really wanted to perform that day. And, you know, riding him out on the field that day, I was like in my element. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And, and then ending up winning that, I was shocked. And I think that really sort of showed me where I wanted to go, and that I loved doing the derbies and maybe I could be good at doing the derbies. And, so we continued on with that horse, and he won a lot of derbies going on from there. So he really, I think, started my professional career and excelled it. And I will forever be grateful to that horse. He's like my soul horse. And there's been a lot, honestly. I've been very fortunate that since then, you know, I think you always sort of worry that you're going to have one horse and be done, like a one-hit wonder. And I've been very fortunate that we have a very good team, and we have a very good team of horses. And so there's a lot of horses that have really helped me, but I'd say, honestly, he's the number one.
Yeah, he sounds very special.
He's a very special horse.
So you mentioned kind of the win in Wellington. Have there been, I don't know if there's any other wins in your career that stand out as important ones for you?
That one's definitely my number one. And I think the Capital Challenge class last year is up right up there with that one, even though that one wasn't a win. All of them. They're all meaningful in their own ways. I won a lot of the derbies at WEC and Wilmington over the winter. in the past few years. And that's been great. And those have been with different horses. So that's always fun. It's kind of a, I feel like that's a good sort of read on where the horses are going to go. And, you know, if they're going to do it in Traverse City or what they're, you know, if they're, if I want to take them to Capital Challenge, hopefully, or something like that. So any of those wins, winning in Traverse City is always special because a lot of people go there. I feel like that horse show has really grown. So the competition's pretty big now. So yeah, I mean, they're all good. winning feels good. Doesn't matter where it is.
A lot goes into it. And yeah, it's nice when it comes to fruition.
It really is. Yes. And it's nice when you can like do it for the whole team, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I guess kind of my next question is a bit on the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, with horses, things don't always go to plan and maybe it's just kind of a bad day, an unlucky day. How do you handle kind of some of those disappointments that come with the sport?
You know, I think that it's hard with this sport. I think, especially with social media and the live streams and everything, I think you really see a lot of the wins and a lot of the high moments, and you don't realize how many, not even bad rounds, but mishaps go into making that happen. You know, I think we see so many people that come out on top, but you don't realize that maybe they had five horses in the class and they had one that was a really good round and four that made little mistakes, you know? And so I think just keeping that into perspective that we're working with animals. They're not machines. There's always something to learn from it. And, you know, like there's always tomorrow. There's always another class. And you go home, you do your homework, you work on something. Maybe they don't feel right that day. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it. And so I think, you know, the hardest thing is just not harping on it and not comparing yourself to everybody else and just knowing you and the horse and that day, and you just move on. It's just, there's another day. It's sure. Just, it's all okay.
Yeah. In the moment, it can seem like, so much and just sometimes devastating, but it's like, okay, take a breath.
Yes, for sure. And I think like when I was a junior, I wanted so badly to do the medal finals and everything. And I was lucky enough to go to the medal McClay finals, but it never worked out for me very well. But I think that part of that is what kind of fuels my fire for the rest of my career. And so I always think, well, of course, it would have been nice to have won those or ribboned there or whatever it was. But would I have been as eager to keep proving something or keep climbing something if that didn't happen? So, you know, I think there has to be something that still like fuels you and drives you to do it. And, you know, I think that's important.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's not only learning if things don't go well, but maybe a bit of fuel to keep going and getting better.
Yeah.
So with competing, do you ever get nervous? And if so, how do you handle your nerves?
I definitely get nervous. As a lot of people say, if you don't get nervous, you don't care. Learning to battle those nerves has been part of learning as a professional and doing this every day. I think the 10,000 hour rule is important. I think going in the ring is important, and that's part of winning or losing. You know, I think that the more you get into the ring, the more you can do it, the more you know how to channel those nerves. I think a lot of my nerves come from pressure and just wanting to do well. I want to do well for the horse. I want to do well for the owner. I want to do well for Heather. I want to do well for the groom that put in a lot of time. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people that put in a lot of time and effort, and you're the one that walks into the ring. So of course, you know, I feel like if I make a mistake, I make a mistake on them also. But you know, like I said, I think you do all of your homework at home. When you get on the horse, you know what to do. You know the horse, you know yourself. And simplify it. You You learn the course and you just go and ride the course. There's, you know, once you walk into the ring, there's not really much else you can do. And so definitely just learning how to channel those nerves into just, we're just going to ride this. We're going to empty everything out in my head. I'm just going to let everything take over and we're just going to go do it.
Yeah. So all that practice that has led up to that moment. And yeah.
Yeah. That's, you just got to trust it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So when you compete in like a big class, do you have a certain routine you like to follow, or do you try and kind of keep things the same or do something different, special?
No, I'm pretty superstitious.
Oh, are you? Would you mind?
So the night before a derby, my husband makes spaghetti with meat sauce, and he's the only one that can make it, and we eat it at home together. We cannot do any other thing with the spaghetti. We've tried salad before with it. Doesn't work. And I can tell you, if he makes the sauce a little watery, it's not going to work. So, very specific spaghetti. And like I'm crazy. I have my days of like, I have my specific derby shirt, but I have my Friday derby shirt. I have a Sunday derby shirt, Saturday derby shirt. So just, it depends, but there's a lot of superstitions that go into it. We can't do anything new or crazy, you know, no new tack for sure. If they want to put a charm or something in the braid, it had to have already worked before. We can't try it that day. No, I'm very superstitious, but so is Heather. And so like all of Hillside basically is. So we all just feed off of each other. And it's usually just like everybody needs to calm down.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I feel like it's, I don't know what the breakdown would be, but I don't know if it even would be 50-50 or maybe more with people who are superstitious. And I don't know. It seems like sometimes it's, I don't know, it offers a bit of peace of mind to people to kind of, yeah, I've definitely heard about shirts and certain colors they like to wear or things like
that. Oh, yeah, definitely the colors. But that's usually blue because we're trying to win. But
okay, yes. Nice.
Before continuing the conversation with Kelsey, I'd like to share a word from another sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Farnam, celebrating 80 years of trusted equine care, and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. When your horse needs to stay focused, it helps to take flies out of the equation. Endure Gold uses brand new, EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes. This advanced formula delivers fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection you can trust. Discover fly protection with Endure Gold from Farnam. Now, let's continue the conversation with Kelsey.
So kind of transitioning to thinking about training, how would you describe your training philosophy?
I really think that less is more. And to simplify things, I think that we tend to, either because we're fixated on something or we want something so bad or whatever it is, I think that we overcomplicate things a lot. And I think that there's a time and a place for that. I think that at home during lessons, maybe during a bit of an off season, you know, that's the time to fixate on something or try something new or, you know, whatever you need to do. I definitely think that when you get to the horse show, I think that, like I said, going into the ring, I think that carries over, that you trust that you've prepped enough and that everybody's ready. And, you know, you just simplify it as much as you can. And I think that helps even with the client's nerves or other people's nerves or the horse's nerves. But I definitely believe that less is more and simplify it if you can.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's easy to overthink sometimes. And it's
definitely easy to overthink. And even when it comes to tack, like I think, you know, we get, again, obsessed with how you want something to happen. And sometimes I just have to be like, take it all away and just put on a snaffle and we're just going to start from here, you know? Sure, yeah. And I think that's like how it is in life. Sometimes you're like, let me just start over, you know?
Yeah. Totally. No, absolutely. And with your horses, do you have kind of a certain fitness schedule that you have them on, or any certain things that you work on with them in terms of?
I think it just depends on what the goals are with them. I have a horse right now that actually I'm doing in the jumpers and doing like meter 30s on. And, you know, his fitness routine is much different than some, like the ponies or something, let's say. But I think them being fit, trotting a bunch of time, you know, for a long time, and build up their muscles and their butt muscles, and, you know, so that jumping comes easy for them. I think that that's important. I think, you know, I think again, like, still keeping it simple. But you also want to make sure that they're soft in their mouth and, you know, so doing little things, but not drilling them every day. I feel like a lot of times it's more of a check-in, like, can we do a shoulder in? How are you feeling on the left versus the right? Can you do a leg yield? Are you moving off of my legs evenly? Are you turning evenly? Does your canter feel even? You know, just to make sure that everybody feels good. And then you take that information and either work on something that doesn't feel right, or, you know, just making sure that they stay fit and working and comfortable and happy.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's good to, yeah, kind of check in like that, you know, make sure, oh, suddenly why are we stiffer on this side? Or versus,
yeah, side? What do I need to do?
Yeah, something to look into.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And now, thinking of your students, how would you describe your teaching style?
I'd say the same. I try to teach the way that I'm going to ride. I don't want to tell them something that I wouldn't do myself. I try to build everything positively. You know, I always try to start with positive and then go to what we maybe need to work on. But I think it's very important that, you know, I know from going into the ring that I want to feel good when I'm walking into the ring. So I want them to feel good when they're walking into the ring too. So, you know, I do the best that I can to make sure that their horse is feeling their best for them. And as they're walking in the ring, I'm like, you got this. Like, you know, I mean, again, you just need to trust that everything's ready to go. Everything's in place. Everybody did what they needed to do. And it's all going to be okay. Yeah. And you know how to do it.
Right. I know sometimes it's nice to hear that final, yeah, you got this, before going. Yeah. The ring.
Like, we all need to hear it. The horses, yeah, need to hear it.
Absolutely. And when you're teaching your students, is there kind of something that you think they often need to work on, or you tend to be kind of a recurring thing that you notice with your students in terms of just something you all practice at home? Or
it sounds so simple and stupid, but going in a straight line is so, yeah, important. And it's so much harder to do than we think.
Yes.
Like jumping the middle of the jump and going in a straight line.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's so true. we're landing and we're going this direction. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you can't do that, you can't do anything else.
Right.
So yeah, keep it simple.
Yeah. And when you're kind of schooling at home, do you have a favorite exercise that you like to set up? And if so, could you describe that?
Well, kind of piggybacking off of jumping in the middle of the jump and going in a straight line, I like to set up a line and add and subtract strides. And the line, the jumps can be very small. But you know, I think that gives a good read on how the horse is feeling and if the rider is maybe strong on one hand or another. Because if you're going to steady, but you have to stay in this straight line and you have to stay in the middle of the jump, you can't wiggle to the right to try to fit in two more strides. You know, you have to get their canter to shrink and collect, and to do that on the straight line is much trickier than people think. But it's very rewarding, and I think everybody feels a lot softer and really good after they do that, after they can add two strides and take out two strides and stay on that same line and, you know, go forward and collected.
No, definitely. I mean, I know, I think it's a common exercise, but that's a good point about kind of also testing the rider a little bit, make sure
you're
not, you know, sometimes maybe you can get in a cheat line, but to really do it truly straight.
It's very telling. And even for myself, like I'll do it for myself and I'll be like, ooh, you better stop pulling on the left rein.
Nice. So with your riding, and how do you kind of stay fit? Do you do any exercises outside of riding? I know as a trainer, you obviously ride lots of horses, but sometimes people have exercise routines they like to follow.
I wish I could say I was much better with that. I would love to. In the summer, I'm a little better. I have a trainer that I'll work with once or twice a week. In the winter, it's a little bit tricky, especially with traveling back and forth. The summer we're in Traverse City the whole time, so we can make up a, you know, kind of a home routine almost. I wish I was a lot better about that. I'll ride all day and then I come home and I'm mothering my 2-year-old. So I feel like that's fitness in itself and chasing her around the house. So yeah, I wish I was a little bit better about that. I do think it is very important to stay fit ourselves. We ask that of our horses, so it's only fair that we do that ourselves too.
Right. Yeah, there's only so many hours in the day.
There are only so many hours in the day. That is so true.
I often wish there were more, but
I know, and only so much energy in the day.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And since you mentioned you have a daughter, how do you kind of juggle, you know, being a mom and a professional trainer and rider?
It's challenging. It's rewarding. My husband is an announcer. So luckily we travel to most of the same horse shows, so we can all be together as a family. And our moms, our parents are very helpful. So they come to the horse shows with us and they will help babysit and watch her. And she's still too young to kind of roam around by herself or anything, but I'm excited for the day that she can do that and that she can come hang out with me at the horse show and hopefully ride her ponies. But yeah, it's challenging, but it's rewarding. It keeps everything in check, I think. You know, it keeps life in perspective. And that, I think that's part of where, you know, when things don't go as well as you want them to in the horse show ring or the barn or whatever it is, you come home to a whole different life and you're like, okay, it's all okay.
Right. Now you said your husband's an announcer. Does he ever announce classes that you compete in?
He does announce the main hunter rings wherever we are. So that's actually really fun. That makes the hunter rings feel like home to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm already comfortable there. That's already my favorite spot to be. So then when he's there too, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, very cool. So you answered most of my questions. I kind of just have a couple more wrap up questions for you, kind of big picture, I guess.
Okay.
So with the sport, you know, we kind of talked about some of the hardships that kind of you can encounter, but I guess what comes to mind as the hardest part of the sport for you?
I think just balancing all the different aspects. I think balancing our emotions, balancing the horse's emotions or feelings, and they can't communicate with us through words. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people involved in one animal. And so I think just balancing all of that and putting that all together and everybody trying to come up with one successful outcome is the most challenging, but it's also a lot of fun to do. So
no, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you said, it's such a team effort. And then kind of if you have a good team together, working together to find that solution or figure out what's best for the horse. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you figure, you know, it takes, it, It takes trainers, riders, owners, vets, grooms, farriers. You know, I mean, it's everything. And there's often not just one solution to make it happen.
Gotcha. So. No, definitely. So since you've been in the career for a bit, is there any advice that you would give your younger self?
I would say to just not put so much pressure on myself. I think especially in our junior years, we think that life is over when you turn 18. And realizing now, like, life is so much better on the other side. So just, you know, just continue to enjoy the horses and know that you love to ride and don't take it for granted. You know, every day that you get to ride and get in the saddle is a good day, and just enjoy it.
Sure. Like you said, you enjoy competing more now, you think, than in the past.
Totally. It's way better. It's way better now.
So is there something that people don't know about you that you could share? Sometimes people have a hidden talent or hobby but not everyone has something. Sometimes it's like, no, I just ride.
I feel like I'm pretty much an open book. I feel like I talk a lot. People know a lot about me. My biggest thing is that my biggest fear, I'll tell you, is I'm terrified of chickens. Like, I don't understand why people have chickens. I don't understand why people have birds. I can't with the birds. I will run away. I can't do it. No. So
everyone has something that kind of gives them.
I cannot do it. I go to my friend's house and she has chickens and she has to like corral the chickens into wherever they live.
Yeah.
Because I cannot get around them.
And I guess kind of shifting back to horses, what, in your opinion, makes a good horse person?
I think a good horse person is somebody that is willing to listen to the horse, understand the horse, not going to the horse thinking that they're doing it wrong on purpose, or, you know, I think just taking into consideration everything, and really just putting the horse first, and how, you know, they can't tell us things. They can't communicate with their words. So we have to take care of that for them. And so I think being the horse's biggest advocates, and I think we ask them to do a lot. So having, you know, empathy for them and just making sure that we're doing our jobs, putting them first and taking care of them as best that we can do that.
No, absolutely. I like what you said, kind of, they're communicating with us, not with words, but
yes.
We have to pay attention to what they're trying to tell us with their behaviors and
Totally. I mean, that's the only way that they can do it. I think a lot of times, you know, if you have a horse that is not spooky and they come out and they start to be spooky, there's unfortunately a lot of people that I think get after the horses for that. And I'm not saying that there's not a time and place for that, but I also think that you need to take a step back and say, this is not this horse. What's going on here? And what do I need to do to make it better? That's on me. You know, that's my job to make that better for them. They're telling me as best that they can. So
I need to do that. Yes. So kind of looking to the season ahead, what's next for you and your horses?
So we take one client to Devon for the junior hunters, and then we go to Traverse City for the whole summer, take all of our horses up there. We have a barn up there as well, so the horses go back and forth. They don't obviously horse show every weekend, but that's really fun. My parents live in Traverse City also. So it's fun to be with them for the summer and horse show all the time. And it's great.
I think you saw, I don't know if this is still the plan, after one of your wins at WEC in Wilmington, that maybe you're aiming for the International Hunter Derby at Traverse City.
Yes, I have a couple that I think could do it, and I really want to do it. I really want to do the Hunter Spectacular also. It's been a few years since I was able to do that. I did that last on Didgeridoo. So I'm pretty excited for these horses that could potentially do it this summer. So fingers crossed it all works out.
Thanks for listening to this week's conversation with Kelsey Epperson. And a big thank you to the episode's sponsors, Tribute Equine Nutrition and Farnam. You can listen to the Practical Horseman podcast on your favorite podcast player or on horseradionetwork.com. While you're there, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman podcast.